morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. It's 8:06 in the morning, and I am going to tell you we're going to have some rain in the forecast towards the weekend, and we need some rain, and I'm excited to have it here because I think we need to get a handle on our active fire situation. I know it's not consuming the headlines like it was a month ago. Can you believe already 1 month ago, it was on the 7th of September, that Monday, that Labor Day, that everything got so crazy in the night and people were starting to evacuate, at least closer here to Salem. Many of these fires had been burning for a while. In fact, I pulled up, if you go to our website, kslm.news, and you pull up on the very top link, there's wildfires, and you click on that, and you go down about half the page. It's a link to Fox 12. It has active fires. There's nine right now, nine active fires so far, 971, 555 acres have been burned. And the Beachy Creek Fire, which is close here, is 62% contained. It started on the 16th of August. It says here at 11:18 a.m., five fatalities, nine injuries, 486 residents destroyed, other structures destroyed, 837. That's just this one particular fire. There's several more that continue to burn, and they're not quite contained. And so we want to ramp up our prayers and continue to think about these families that have been displaced, the businesses that have been displaced, the communities that have been totally wiped out. And we need to do our part, do what we can. And what we want to do here at the radio station is make sure that you have the information, you yourself or the ones that you know or coworkers, make sure that they have the information. Because when you're displaced, your natural network of finding things and connecting is totally upended, kind of like this pandemic. It's changed things. So there's layers of complications and obstacles that we're trying to help people get through. And in that effort to stay connected and bring education and empower folks to get what they need, I have brought alongside of us this morning, and I'm very thankful. She actually reached out to me and said, hey, I want to talk to you a little bit, maybe your listeners, and what's going on. And so we have these organizations and these safety nets in our communities. And of course, we're so thankful for our firefighters, our sheriff's department, our police, those that are, when we're running away from the fires, they're running towards them and they're letting people know what's going on. And we're very, very thankful for an organization called the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or better known as FEMA. And I had a wonderful conversation over the last couple days with Shirley Tracy. She is with FEMA and she's on the air with me now. Good morning, Shirley. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, good morning, Stacy Ann. Boy, you really nailed it when you said there are just layers and layers in this process of recovery. It's amazing. Devastating for so many people in Oregon, but we're making progress.
Good news. That's good. And Shirley, I know that families, the stories that keep coming in of the devastation, and it affects them, multi-generations. We're realizing how many families, you know, they have their children and their grandchildren even in the home, plus their pets and their livestock and all of that. Talk to us a little bit about what's the first step if someone's been impacted that they should do to get help.
Okay, the very first step, excuse me, is you're going to register for assistance with FEMA. And actually, let me backtrack. The first step is that you contact your insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And concurrently, because your insurance frequently covers fire damage, concurrently, then you will contact FEMA as well and register for assistance. And I will tell you in a little bit on how to do that, because there are several different ways. But applying for assistance is important, to do that as quickly as possible, to get yourself into the system. And before, when you do the insurance, you're going to end up with a settlement paper, and you'll have to present that settlement paper to FEMA, because we don't duplicate what they cover. but we often cover things that insurance doesn't cover. So if you're uninsured or underinsured, it's very possible that some FEMA assistance will be available to you. So the first step is to get yourself into the system. I do have some interesting new news this morning for folks who are displaced in Marion, Linn, and Jackson counties.
Okay.
That I'd like to share with your listeners.
Yes, go for it. Yes.
The state had requested direct temporary housing for that program to be implemented in the 8 counties where we have individual assistance approved. And I'm sure people are aware of those 8 counties, but so the state had requested this direct housing. Now, what that means is what people usually commonly refer to as FEMA trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We like to call the infamous FEMA trailers, we mm-hmm. like to call them manufactured housing units.
Right.
So what the state asked for us to make that program available to people, that is contingent on generally if there's a shortage of available rental property, because we try to get people into, well, ideally their own home, and if not, then into rental property. But when there's a shortage, then the direct housing program kicks into action, and it has been approved for Marion, Linn, and Jackson counties, as I said. So what that means is when people apply for assistance, based on an inspection of their home, they may be eligible to get one of these manufactured housing units.
Okay. So then, let me ask you a question on that. Pause
sure.
for a moment. So if on their property they're not able to rebuild right away, they could apply for one of these homes until they can get to a point where they can rebuild. Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so it depends on the inspection and the severity of the damage to their home. But having said that, it is not a fast process. It's not as simple as just, you know, driving a trailer onto the property and dropping it there. Every mm-hmm. county has its own zoning regulations for manufactured housing. Sometimes it can be put onto the person's property. Sometimes it can be put on, it has to be put into a more like a mobile home park type place. But there's the gas lines and the electric lines, and there's, you know, the sewage. And so there's all kinds of restrictions, and every county is different. So it's not a quick process. It's not something that we can just drive in a trailer and drop it down. But at least it has been approved for those 3 counties, and the remaining counties, they're still monitoring the rental property that's available and, you know, checking on the housing conditions. So it's not off the table for the other counties. They still may be approved.
So the first step is get insurance. The second step is to get in touch with FEMA and say you have a housing need, right? If you're living in a camper at someone else's house, and now we're getting into the winter months and you want better housing, you know, my question to you, Shirley, and some of these housing programs you're talking about, the state, you know, and the FEMA trailer and all of that, if someone had their house paid for, and maybe they had insurance, maybe they didn't have insurance, you know, and their costs are really low, or their challenge economically, is there subsidy on if they get into a place that they're renting? Is there help? Because some of the rentals around here, I'm just moving here in January, I was shocked at a 2-bedroom townhome would be $1,300 a month, you know. And,
right.
So give us a little more perspective on that.
Okay. There are many different options. And again, registering for assistance is the first step, because they can open up so many different programs to people. Currently, we have people basically staying in hotels. Many people were in shelters. Then we have moved everybody out of the shelters, and the Red Cross is very effective at that. We have people in about 1,000 hotel rooms, or about 2,000 people.
Wow.
Are displaced and in hotel rooms, and that program is in effect until early December.
Okay.
We try to get people into rental property. That's our first step, is to get them into hotel rooms, then look for rental property. When there's a shortage of rental property, and we do provide rental assistance as well.
Good.
In the process, and that's for up to 18 months they may be able to get rental assistance. And then after that, then our next resort is to bring in the manufactured housing units, which we will be doing in those counties.
Incredible.
So the help is there. And if somebody didn't have insurance at all on their home, which sometimes happens where people have their home paid off.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
if you have a mortgage, then probably your mortgage company required insurance, and insurance generally covers fire damage. But if you did, if you have your home paid off, maybe you don't have that insurance on your property anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have some provisions for that, but quite honestly, even the maximum payout is not enough to rebuild a house.
Mm-hmm.
So really, people really do have to have insurance.
And so in that case, with the FEMA trailer, what expense is it to the person who maybe they don't have insurance, but they have the land and they have the septic? You know, of course, there's got to be the clearing and all of those things, and we'll get into that a little more. But is there an expense to the family for the FEMA home as well?
No, there's no expense. The person, they're not renting it from us. They're using it basically, because it will eventually be returned back to the government.
Okay.
But it's theirs to use, and it generally, the program may last 6 months or a year or 2 years even,
mm-hmm.
for depending on how long it takes to repair their home or replace their home. It's something that we watch very closely. We make sure that people are on, they have a schedule, they have a plan to repair their home, and that they're making progress. They're not just living in one of these manufactured housing units, and then in a year or 2 years down the road, are still displaced. You know, there's a goal in mind, and that is to get people back in their homes. So we do watch that,
mm-hmm.
and make sure they're making progress.
Well, I know,
but it's a long-term
solution. There is a lot of layers, like we talked about already, and it sounds like, you know, yes, you're the FEMA person that's been able to come in and help, but it sounds like case management. A lot of case management going on in individuals. How big is your team working with all of these? Well, you have 1,000 people in apartments. You know, how is your team doing?
Well, there's a lot of collaboration. A lot of collaboration with the state,
mm-hmm.
with nonprofit organizations. For example, the Red Cross is huge.
Good.
The Red Cross does so much of the work initially. So there's a lot of moving parts to it to make it all work, but it does. It's amazing, but it does. It works.
It is incredible. And we're going to go into a break here, Shirley. And when we come back on the other side, I want to talk a little bit, get into some specifics of where they can sign up. And then I want to ask you some questions about businesses that have been impacted. And I know we'll bring someone else into the conversation on that. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning, Salem. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you in hour two of the Good Morning Show. It's 57 degrees here at the KSLM studios today. It'll get up to 67 degrees and 70 degrees tomorrow, and then the rain starts on Saturday, Sunday, looks like through Tuesday, which isn't all bad because we're contending still in our state. 9 active fires still in our state, and talk about just an impact. We've already been walking through since earlier this year, the pandemic and everything upended. And I know for me, I've been around a lot of natural disasters that have been pretty close. The closest was some tornadoes that hit not too far away, maybe about 15 miles away from where I was living in Arkansas. And certainly in South Dakota, we've had tremendous, when I lived there, the blizzards and windstorms and things like that. But I've never been so close to wildfires. And in fact, it made me think, okay, what is my plan? How am I going to equip myself if all of a sudden, where am I going to go if I need to evacuate? And I know a lot of families were impacted. And the beautiful thing about Oregon, I love this area in Salem. We're an hour and 15, 20 minutes from the coast, and then another hour or so from the mountains where we can hike and fish and camp. And our coastal region goes right up until the ocean. It's just beautiful. But with that comes those risks of fire. And this year was a dry year, and we didn't have the rain we normally have. And of course, all of the things that lead up to fires. And now we're dealing with the after effects. And on the line with me, and I'm so thankful, Shirley, that you've joined us this morning from FEMA to give our listeners, maybe if our listeners aren't directly impacted, they know somebody who is, the information that they need to get the access to the resources that are out there to help them, because this is new for so many of us. We have no idea. Yeah. And to get through the layers and to mitigate the process, it's just challenging when you're already in crisis mode. And having been a social worker and a crisis counselor myself and working through triaging just life circumstances, I've never been in this kind of capacity before. So I'm so thankful you reached out and said, hey, let's get this information out there. So talk to us a little bit about what's next. What else can people do?
Well, the first thing, as I said, you have to register for disaster assistance. And there are several ways that people can do that. You can go online at disasterassistance.gov. You can download, there's a FEMA app that you can put on your phone and register there. You can call 1-800-621-3362, 1-800-621-FEMA, that is, and register over the telephone. But there is a valuable resource that's available to people in Marion and Linn counties. We have disaster survivor assistance teams at various different locations where they can go in and register. If they've already registered, they've been assigned a case number. And you mentioned having a case manager. Well, this is almost like having your own case manager.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've registered and you have that number, you can go into one of these sites, or you could call that 800 number and talk to the person specifically about your case, find out where it is in the disaster assistance process. So we have three locations. They're in Linn County and one location in Marion County. And then we have locations in all the other counties that have been declared as well. So those locations are available. If you look at your county website, you'll be able to find the locations and the days and times that they're open. But I recommend people take advantage of that resource, because it's an incredibly valuable tool to have a person you can go in and talk to one-on-one. You don't need an appointment. Just show up. We've got several survivor assistant team members there who have the information and can answer your questions one-on-one. And we do it in a relatively safe environment, as safe as can be. You are required to wear a mask. There's social distancing. So we make it as safe as we possibly can, but we're also trying to make it as convenient as we can for people to come in and get the assistance they need.
That's fantastic. And I love the fact that, too, you've added resources. I want to add to the conversation right now, a small business association. We have an opportunity to talk to Bill Kuntz with the Small Business Administration. I said association, administration. For the business owners, what can we do to reach out to the business owners, Bill, that are impacted, and what resources are available to them today?
Good morning, Stacey Ann. Good to be with you.
Thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you for correcting our name.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm used to that.
I gotta have my glasses on. I gotta put them back on here, but we got it taken care of. Thank you for being a part of the morning show. Talk to us a little bit and talk to that business owner.
Well, I will not only talk to business owners, but I'll tell you something that a lot of folks don't know about SBA. SBA's a partner of the FEMA group, and we're the long-term recovery dollars source for folks with these fires and windstorms in recovery. And so my message is, we want you to register with FEMA first and see what help FEMA can provide. But a lot of you will be referred by FEMA to the SBA for our program. And we can help not only business owners that have fire damage or economic losses because of the fire, we can also help homeowners and renters.
Mm-hmm.
And homeowners and renters are usually the people that are helped the most by our program because they're usually the ones that are uninsured and they probably have been the most impacted. So SBA has offers disaster loans. These are loans directly from the federal government. And they're at a very low interest rate for almost everyone. A homeowner or a renter can borrow money at 1.2%.
Wow.
Payments up to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for damages to your primary residence. So a homeowner can get up to $200,000 for their home in a disaster loan, plus another $40,000 for personal property. And a renter could get up to $40,000 for personal property. That includes a car. And then we help businesses up to $2 million for losses that they've suffered, as I say, for either fire damage loss or a business owner could say, well, I didn't have fire damage, but I've lost my customers because of the fire.
Oh, sure.
And I don't have the income I need to pay my bills. The SBA could give them a loan to help with working capital dollars. So there's no cost to apply for SBA's program. I would encourage the listeners to register with FEMA first, and then when FEMA refers you to SBA, talk to SBA, and I'll tell you later how to do that. Talk to SBA and see what SBA might offer you. No obligation to accept the loan if we approve one.
We got to go to a break, Bill. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're going to go to a break, and I'm going to have you finish this when we get on the other side of this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use, like how to get help during this wildfire recovery process. We've got wonderful resources right at on the line with us. We'll get to it when we get back. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 8:35. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're having a great conversation this morning, finding out what the resources are right here in our community and throughout the state of Oregon for those impacted by the wildfires. And continuing the conversation, I've got Shirley on the line from FEMA, and then Bill is on the line from the Small Business Administration. And right before we went into the break, Bill, you were kind of talking about some of the resources, and I'm so impressed. I have to kind of go back. You said you even help homeowners, individuals, families, and renters, because sometimes they kind of fall through the gap as far as what their needs are, and folks need to sign up with FEMA, and then they need to come to the Small Business Administration and get some assistance. And if you're a business owner, there's low interest loans to help you, even if you've been impacted by the loss of customers. Have I wrapped that up pretty much? Did I hear you correctly? Is there anything else we need to clarify that I just restated there?
Stacey Ann, that was perfect. You're hired.
Oh, yay!
Hired. Exactly.
Well, I'm so glad to have you both on the line. I figured out technically, I'm a little challenged that way, that you're both on the line with me today, that we can bring resources and help to people like in real time. Thank you for your role in that and helping Oregonians get some normalcy back to their life. And we know that this year has been already. I can't imagine for your administration offices and all the things that you've had to do working remotely and all of those things. And it's good to make sure everybody's staying safe and healthy. But it does make it challenging a bit to get what people need, right? How are you handling that?
Well, it's certainly different, but it's working, and that is what is amazing me. I'm boots on the ground, and I'm here in Salem, but not everyone is. There are people who, like you said, are working virtually, and I thought, oh, this will never work, but it does. It's getting done. It's amazing. We do a lot of Zoom calls and things like that.
I love the relationship that FEMA has with the Small Business Administration, Bill, and the picture that you painted and how you're working collaboratively together for these families. Bill, talk a little bit to that business owner who is not sure, should I reinvest? Should I, this is pretty traumatic. Should I
try this again? Should I relocate and try it somewhere else? Talk to that person.
You bet. It is difficult. And, of course, being in this line of work, I've seen a lot of communities go through such horrible disasters. And I'm in the Sacramento Valley working from home, like a lot of my colleagues. And we, of course, have got our share of fires down this way as well. So it's very difficult to recover. You don't know what the next step might be. There are a lot of resources that you don't know about yet. And what we want is to talk to folks and explain our program to them. As I said, after you've registered with FEMA, you'll probably get a phone call from SBA.
Mm-hmm.
Our trusty computer may call you. And the important thing to know is, even though you've registered with FEMA, you're not yet registered with SBA until you come to us and you fill out a loan application online. Theoretically, we can mail you a paper application, but that's pretty rare anymore.
Right.
So you would go to SBA and register online and apply for a disaster loan. It's a pretty simplified process. We have an 800 number to call, and that's 800-659-2955. And then you can also email us to ask questions at FOCWAssistance, all one word, FOCWAssistance@sba.gov. And that's a special email address mailbox that we set up for the fires. It's not our normal nationwide email box, so you'll probably get a little bit faster response coming to us directly here in the Sacramento area, which is where my office is located, at that email box. And then to actually apply for a disaster loan, you would go to our online application at, this is a long one, Disaster Loan Assistance, all one word, disasterloanassistance.sba.gov. And that's our website, sba.gov. You can go into that website and get information about the loans, download forms, apply online. You could spend all day looking at the website.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the last point I would make up front real fast is there is a deadline to apply for this help with FEMA and with SBA. SBA follows the lead that FEMA provides, the Presidential Disaster Declaration. FEMA is the lead federal agency, and their deadline and ours to apply for this help is November 16th. So that's not too far away. We want you to apply before the deadline, and even if you're not ready to finish with the loan process with SBA, we'll give you 6 months if you apply by the deadline and then say, well, I don't have time to do this yet. I'm trying to figure out debris removal or whatnot, or where I'm going to live. And so we'll close down a loan file and give that person 6 months to come back and resume processing it. So it will work with folks for a year if that's what it takes, as long as they stay in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is you've got to register by November 16th.
So get the word out to your listeners. Get the word out to your friends and family, people that you know. Maybe there was a business that you went to, or maybe went up into the hills camping at a campground. And you know, just some practical things, because I've been a case manager and I've done crisis management. You know, I was thinking here as you're talking, go on this website and stuff. You know, people probably lost their computers. And right now the libraries are closed because of the pandemic. I mean, just to even access. So we do the old school thing, call on the phone number, you know, ask a friend to use, you know, a computer and things. And anymore, we can do so much on our phones. But we don't even think about the obstacles necessarily. Maybe you all do because you're in it every day helping and assisting. But us, the listeners, we don't realize all the obstacles people have to go through just to find the information. So we want to be helpful that way. And I appreciate it, Bill, what you're doing. I know we have another caller on the line to talk more closer to Oregon here. Bill, thank you for your work. If there's anything we can do to get public service announcements out or anything like that, don't hesitate to give me a call, okay?
Thank you, Stacey, and love the opportunity and help. Thank you for helping us spread the word.
You bet. You have a wonderful day. Thank you. And on the line with us, we're continuing the conversation this morning. We still have Shirley. Thank you, Shirley, for being on the line with us and connecting the dots and making sure that the everybody has these resources. With us on the line, I believe we have Lauren. Hello, Lauren. Are you there with us?
I am, Stacey Ann. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, so glad to have you along in the conversation this morning, and thank you for holding all that time. I want to say your part is very instrumental. When someone's lost their home and there's all this debris, right? Talk to us a little bit about, we've talked about registering with FEMA, registering with the Small Business Administration, and you are with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and it cut off on my paper. What's the rest of that?
Yeah, thanks. So yes, I'm with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and that is one of the contributing agencies to the Oregon Debris Management Task Force.
Excellent.
So I'll just say debris removal is really the first step towards recovery in terms of moving folks towards rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-step process. The first thing we need to do is remove what we call household hazardous waste. These are things like bleach, paint, propane tanks, fertilizer, pesticides. They pose a threat to public health. Mm. And you need specialized equipment, protective equipment, if you're going to go on site and remove them. So what's happening right now is that this is being provided at no cost to property owners, and EPA cleanup teams are going to be doing this work. After that, there will be an ash and debris removal process. But what we really want folks to know right now is we need people who have been impacted and need this service to sign right of entry forms, which are available on their county websites. If you don't know exactly where on your county website, because I know all websites can be a maze, if you go to wildfire.oregon.gov/cleanup, you can find a direct link to your county webpage where that form is located. And I'm sure if it were me, I would feel overwhelmed with the number of forms I'm being asked to sign.
Mm-hmm.
I want to emphasize this is a really simple form. It's your name, it's your address, your basic insurance information, if you have insurance, and if not, that's completely fine. Please still sign the form and your signature. And we need folks to do that so we can start with this process.
And let me ask you this question, and go ahead, Shirley. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, that deadline is looming, too.
Mm, yeah, it's that was where quick. I was going.
October 16th. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
people
we need to get the word out.
Right away.
Yeah, that's coming up right around the corner. And so this form that they sign, and I can hear some of my listeners going, okay, I'm giving access to my property. Is it for this special event of cleanup only, or is it an open-ended access?
That's a great question. So it's for household hazardous waste cleanup only. Some counties have two forms, in fact. So one is only for household hazardous waste, and then another might be for that and overall debris removal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once that work is complete, no one else is going to be coming on your property. The state is working on setting up a map platform where you can look and see the status of your property.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're really trying to do is help protect the health of Oregonians and to save them some money, because your insurance might have a set aside towards debris, but debris can cost hazardous waste and debris removal can cost as much as $75,000 per lot, and that's going to start eating away at folks' funds to rebuild their homes. And to the extent that the state can help with this hazardous waste removal, we really hope folks will sign up to let us help.
Well, that's coming up on the 16th of October, and we'll get all of these links that you all have mentioned. We'll get them up on our podcast and make sure that we continue to get the word out. Thank you for your time today, and stay in touch. If there's anything else I can help you with, let me know, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, getting information out to our listeners and anybody that you know about how to recover from this wildfire tragedy that we've had in our area, and we are better together. Let's get the word out. We'll be back after this.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. 1220 AM, 104.3 FM, and streaming live at kslm.news. Glad to be hanging out with you and getting you information that you can use on this Thursday. And I'm thankful that Lauren and also Shirley are on the line and they're bringing us information that we can use in regards to cleaning up from the fire and what we can do, what resources are there to come alongside families and businesses impacted by the fires. Shirley and Lauren, I thank you for your time. And Lauren, I have another question on the follow-up. We were talking about getting that hazardous material cleaned up and the ash cleaned up and all of that and making sure you get signed up by October 16th. Where do they go to sign up again?
Great question. So you can go to wildfire.oregon.gov/cleanup if you have access to the internet, and there are links directly to your county's webpage with that form on it. In a lot of cases, you can fill it out online, but they're also handing out hard copies at the multi-agency resource centers that are in all the communities, at various FEMA support centers as well, and at some of the county emergency operation centers. There's also, I would recommend, a phone number that folks can call. It's a right of entry helpline, and that number is 1-682-800-5737. And those folks will help you find out where to get the form with any questions you have about the form. So I really encourage people to reach out.
And are some of these resources available, like in Spanish and things? I know we have a lot of families, that maybe don't speak English as their primary language that can be of assistance.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Yes, that helpline, there are Spanish-speaking services available through that helpline. We've translated a lot of the right of entry forms into Spanish as well. If you go to that wildfire.oregon.gov/cleanup webpage, there's a little link right at the top that where you can go to the Spanish version of that page. So we've really been making a concerted effort to make sure that we're reaching the Spanish-speaking community.
Excellent. Thank you for your service to our state. Lauren, I appreciate your hard work and getting the word out, and however we can be of an asset to continue to do that. You're welcome to call in or ask to be on the show or whatever we can do to support you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lauren.
Shirley, continuing the conversation this morning, you have done this quite often. This is what you do, right? Going into an area where there's been, some sort of a disaster, and you put together the resources, kind of a caring net, in a sense, to help capture these families that have been impacted by whatever it is. How long have you been on the ground here in Oregon?
Just for a few weeks at this point. We generally come in initially, and we help with the process of responding immediately. That, when I say we, I mean FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
And so FEMA has been here basically from the get-go, but I came in a couple of weeks ago personally to start with the recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that's a very lengthy process. We will be here for months, even years, having boots on the ground working on it. The recovery process takes a long time because if we're not talking about only individual assistance, people's homes, renters and property owners' homes, but we're also talking about infrastructure. We have groups of people working on bridges that are out, roads that are out, schools, facilities that are owned basically by the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a whole nother project, and that takes years to rebuild. I wanted to add something with regards to what we were talking about with debris cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very hazardous for people to try to do it themselves. I know it's tempting, but it is toxic material, and so we really suggest that people have professionals do it, and ideally if you can wait for the EPA, the state people, and let them take care of it. That's the best way to deal with the problem. There are other deadlines that are looming besides that at October 16th deadline to sign the right of entry form. The state provides unemployment to people who lost their jobs or lost income due to the wildfires. And there's a deadline on that of October 23rd.
Okay.
So that's coming up real soon also.
That's good to know, too. And I'm hoping that you and I kind of offline, let's get all these dates and
yes.
websites and things and get them up on the show plan so that in
it's
the podcast. Yeah, it is a lot. And again, I keep thinking of the individual that lost everything, right? Maybe they don't even have their cell phone or their glasses, you know, and things like that. But you coming in, you kind of building this network of resources and this net to help folks. What an incredible job. And how long do you typically stay in a community when there's an event like this?
Me personally or FEMA?
Well, you personally, you probably go on to the next thing. How long do you typically stay?
It can vary for me personally from a minimum of a month. And it can go up to 6 months or even a year. Isn't that amazing?
Incredible.
Time depending on the disaster.
Well, one of the things that I like to highlight on my show is the humanity of my guest and what they do to do their work that they do. And I just hats off to you and thank you for the sacrifice.
We love that job.
Oh, it's incredible. you have to have that right kind of calling on your life to be able to move from community to community. And there's challenges. I've lived in a few different states and I know how it is. In a sense, you're kind of the outsider or whatever, you know, and I certainly appreciate your willingness to come and serve in this capacity. How long have you worked for FEMA?
I've been with FEMA 10 years.
Incredible.
And I can tell you that people who work for FEMA, they love their job.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of a different, strange lifestyle, but people love what they do. They love having the opportunity to help people, and we really do help.
Yes.
Sometimes that, you know, is difficult, and sometimes people are upset because they're in a difficult situation and we can only do so much, but we can jumpstart a recovery. We can't make everybody whole again. We can't put their life back the way it was, but we can at least get them started, get them in the right direction.
Well, we certainly appreciate you and your team of experts that come in and come alongside already the natural network of helpers who are taxed out, I think, because of the pandemic and all the needs because of all the unemployment and all of the changes that have happened already, and not just unique to Oregon, but all over the country. We certainly think of you and keep you in our prayers as you're helping, and you're the ones that with the stories. We don't necessarily know all of the stories, but we have the resources to connect you to the stories, and we're so thankful for you, Shirley. Let me know how I could be of help in the future, okay?
Apply. Yes, is it?
All right. Give us the website one more time.
DisasterAssistance.gov.
Excellent. Well, bringing help to those that need it right here in our own backyard. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you, Shirley, for your time. Have a fantastic day. Friends, remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what we're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Thanks for listening today. We'll put this up on the website. The podcast will be up this afternoon. Share it with your friends and family. Let's get this information out. Have a great day.